Hello once again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another really good revision history podcast with me, Mr. Hutchison, and we are moving on with some American West history. So the previous podcast, of course, was focused on the overview of the course and sort of breaking it down into different chapters, if you like, breaking it down into the different stories that are present and the various things you need to know about. And then, of course, we started looking at the Plains Indians themselves and who they were, started looking at some of their culture, in particular started focusing in on the differences between Plains Indian culture and the white European settlers, or Americans as we call them, and their culture, and sort of looking for potential reasons for conflict. So that's what we've done so far. We're going to continue with that theme around the destruction of Plains Indian culture, which, of course, is one of the main features of this course, one of the main stories of this course, how the Plains Indians went from their sort of autonomous different bands, different groups, the Indian nations they were called, although remember, of course, they didn't live as countries, they lived nomadically, and those nations, those tribes were broken down into smaller bands. It's very important. How did they go from that sort of standard, that way of living, to be swallowed up and eventually assimilated? That means to be swallowed up into American culture, to become Americans per se. So there are three distinct chapters to this, three distinct chapters between 1830 and 1895. So first of all, the American government starts with removal. So the policies that the American government bring into force in the early part of our course, as I say, 1830, 1834, up to about 1850s, the early 1850s, were all to do with removing the Plains Indians. So getting them off the land, or white Americans' land, moving them out the way, per se. And that's what the sort of that's the policy that the American government adopted in the early part. From 1851 onwards, you've got a change in strategy, because the American government started to realize that they were going to settle more of the plains. Up until the late 1830s or the 1850s, they assumed that they would only have the East Coast, and they set a permanent Indian frontier. It's not until later on that they realize they're going to settle more of the plains. So as they swallow up and settle more of the plains, starting with the West Coast and then filling up the middle, they begin to realize that this permanent Indian frontier, so just moving them away from the East, isn't going to work, because they're swallowing up more land and catching up with the Plains Indians that they've moved further west. So they start a policy of reservations, which is putting the Plains Indians into smaller sort of territorial areas, geographical areas that is sort of reserved just for them, hence the name reservations, but within the larger American land. And then eventually, of course, as more and more people come onto the plains, there's more and more conflict. Towards the end of our course, they adopt a policy from 1887 onwards of assimilation, where they try to make the Plains Indians Americans. And that's when you get boarding schools where children are beaten for speaking their native language, and they have to dress as Americans and all the rest of it. So we'll get into it in more detail in a later podcast, but essentially they're the three different chapters. Okay, removal, reservations, assimilation. So you've got three different distinct chapters, and the policies follow that. They change their policy as time moves on. So the start of this, we're going to start with the start of government policy between 1830 and 1851. So we're looking at removal, moving into reservation policy. Okay, so we start right at the start of our course here with in 1830 with the Indian Removal Act. So this was 1830, and this was literally what it says on the tin. It was the act of moving Plains Indians out of what the white Americans perceived as their land, and moving them, ushering them further west, if you like, out and out of the way. All right. So Americans, white Americans, did recognize that Plains Indians had some rights to the land, because they'd lived on that land for a long time. But as that population begins to grow in the east, there were conflicts over this land. So remember, during our period, okay, those Americans have all come from somewhere else. They originate from Europe mainly. So they're white Europeans. So they're, you know, Germans and English people and Irish and Scottish and Dutch and French and you name it, okay? And that doesn't stop. That immigration into the east coast of America from Europe does not stop. So during the entire time of our course, it's filling up and filling up and filling up with immigrants from Europe. So as that begins to happen in 1830, they begin to settle on Plains Indians land in the east. All right, so in 1830, President Jackson, who was an interesting character, he was an ex-soldier who had fought Plains Indians before as a cavalryman and killed many of them. All right, so in 1830, now President Jackson signs the Indian Removal Act. And that literally does what it says. 46,000 American Indians, Plains Indians living in the east of America, okay, were forced to move to new lands west of the Mississippi River. And they were forced quite brutally at gunpoint. They had no choice in the matter. All right, they were forced west, okay? And President Jackson promised them that they would never have to give up their new land further west. And in 1834, sort of as the next step to this, if you like, he passed an act which created the Permanent Indian Frontier. So that, literally, as it sounds, a frontier is a border, and it was permanent. So the idea being that they placate justify moving Plains Indians from the land by saying, okay, we're going to set up this border and it's going to be permanent. Okay, it's going to be permanent. So identified Indian territory was all that part of the United States west of the Mississippi River. So land behind the 95th meridian, all of that land, that's the Plains Indians. And the land east of that is ours. And this, and the 95th meridian is the permanent Indian frontier. Now, permanent because that's what they thought it was going to be at the time. They thought that there was going to be no more settlement west. So that was the idea. Sets up a permanent frontier that separates the two sides, separates Plains Indians from white Americans. Now, as we know, in the very near future after that, that policy is going to change. As well as that, the permanent Indian frontier did a few other things as well. It stopped white Americans from selling guns and alcohol to Plains Indians, and also outlined that the US Army would police that frontier. So this was a hard border, a really hard frontier. It was guarded by a chain of US Army forts. A fort, of course, is like a wooden castle, if you like, and it was connected by a military road. So this permanent frontier was policed quite strongly. And that was fine, because before 1840-ish or the late 1830s, most white European settlers or most Americans weren't interested in any lands west of the Mississippi, which is why they set up the permanent Indian frontier, because, you know, all they could see was that the plains land, which was very difficult to live on, you know, it wasn't that desirable, that land anyway. So it was unsuitable for farming for all the reasons we dealt with in the first podcast. And so they kind of decided that actually it wasn't favorable land, so we don't want it anyway. So Plains Indians can have that. We'll have our land in the east. We'll set up a permanent Indian frontier, which we'll police, and that'll be that. But of course, all that begins to change. During this time as well, it's just part for part of your knowledge, between 1830 and 1839, as a direct result of the Indian Removal Act and the establishment of the permanent Indian frontier, you've got something called the Trail of Tears. The Trail of Tears is a trail. It's a pathway, if you like, that Plains Indian tribes in the southeast of America that were forced out of those lands by the American government as part of the establishment of the permanent Indian frontier, they were forced to walk along this trail. And it was, a horrible journey, which many people died on. Okay, so for example, you've got a group of Plains Indians who lived just north of what is now Florida, and they were forced out of their lands. They were forced to walk 1,000 miles or so into new Indian territory west of the permanent Indian frontier. And it's estimated around 15,000 Creeks, who were, a group of tribe of Plains Indians, were forced out of their homes. And about, it's estimated again, that around 3,500 of those did not survive the trip. So this is absolutely brutal stuff, folks. This is shameful history. The American government forcibly removed Plains Indians from their homes west of the permanent Indian frontier along the Trail of Tears. This was a very unhappy time for the Plains Indians, hence why it's called the Trail of Tears, because this is their ancestral home. Okay, I know I said before that Plains Indians and white European settlers or Americans considered land ownership very differently, and they didn't build on their land, you know, which is why the Americans thought it was sort of available. But they still, you know, still love their homeland, still love that territory where they'd grown up all their lives. And so this is a very sad, very brutal thing that the Plains Indians were subjected to at the hands of the American government. Okay, so that Trail of Tears, as a result, the Removal Act, as a result of the Permanent Unknown Frontier, lasts between 1830 and 1839, and refers to the mass movement of various tribes from the sort of southeast of what is now America, places like Florida and places like that. The removal of those Plains Indians, forcibly removed from those lands into the west beyond the Permanent Indian Frontier. So those were Creeks, Cherokees, okay, and other groups as well. Now, sort of separately from this, this is all affected by something that's almost nothing to do with the Plains Indians, and that is war with Mexico. In 1848, the United States win a war against Mexico. Now, we're not going to worry too much about this because it isn't really part of the course per se. It's just the aftermath of the consequence of it do affect settlement in the West. So you do need to be aware of it and aware what happens as a result. So as a result of America winning this war with Mexico in 1848, so you know, 8 or so years once the Trail of Tears ends, they gain a lot of territory in what is now the west of America that was once Mexican. So, for example, they gain territories in Texas and in California as a result of winning that war. Now, the important thing to remember here is that those territories are beyond, far further west, as far west as you can go, right to the coast, far further west than the permanent Indian frontier. So after 1848, permanent Indian frontier is no longer enforceable by the American. They have to break their word because they now own, if you like, or they have gained territories west of that. So because of war with Mexico, because of the Mexican cessation, that's land that was once Mexican now being inherited by the American government, it sort of voids the permanent Indian frontier because they've got land beyond that. Okay, so instead of the permanent Indian frontier now, well, dividing Plains Indians in the West from white Americans in the East, American Plains Indians lands were now in the middle, all right, with America owning land on the East Coast and now on the West. Okay, it's also worth bearing in mind that Oregon, which is sort of the top left-hand side, you know, the northwest of America, also becomes officially part of America in 1846. So by 1848, Oregon on the West Coast, California, and Texas down the south have all become part of America. So now it's just that bit in the middle that needs to be filled in, I suppose, and that's where the Plains Indians are. So this is problematic for the Plains Indians, as we're going to see, because from the sort of late 1830s, early 1840s, white European settlers start crossing the plains, crossing the middle, 3,000 kilometers to settle in the far west when they're traveling the Oregon Trail, you know, and that really, I suppose, is the beginning of permanent settlement beyond the Indian frontier. Okay, the other thing we need to be aware of is the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Now, a bureau, BUREAU, a bureau, just like the FBI, you know, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, a bureau is like a government department, all right? Like a wing, an official department that represents the government. And in this case, this bureau was set up to look after or manage the Plains Indian, the two sides, the to negotiate, I suppose, between the Plains Indians and the government. So it's set up really early in 1824, really, 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 really early. But in 1849, it moves to the Department of the Interior, which is looking after American land and resources. I mean, this is really high level knowledge, folks. Okay, so it was originally set up to oversee trade between the government and the Plains Indians, as I say, in the very early part, long before our course starts. But in 1849, after the Mexican cessation, after America gains Mexican lands past the permanent Indian frontier, it changes its focus. All right, so in 1849, Department of Indian Affairs changed the focus more on the needs of the American government and their land rather than the needs of the Plains Indians. Okay, so the Bureau of Indian Affairs becomes important later on, but it's worth noting that this part of the course in 1849, after the Mexican cessation and Oregon becoming part of America, the sort of the focus of it focusing on trade between the two sides to focusing on the needs of the American government and enforcing those needs, okay, sort of happens in 1849. All right. So, for example, far later on in our course, it's the Bureau that passes a law forcing Plains Indian children to be taken from their families to be educated and civilized, inverted commas, in white American boarding schools. It's the Bureau of Indian Affairs that oversees and facilitates that. And that brings us right up to 1851, and now this represents a change in strategy. So far it's all been about removal. It's all been about keeping the two sides separate through removal, getting the Plains Indians away from American territory. Okay, in 1851 that begins to change, because as white European settlers begin to settle on the plains and on the West Coast, they realize that's not going to work. So in 1851, they passed the Indian Appropriations Act. Okay, the first one. There's another one later on. So this is the 1851. And that creates reservations. Okay, so this is a continuation in some ways of the old policy by moving Plains Indians away from land that the white settlers wanted to use. But there was something new about it as well, in that by reducing the amount of land Plains Indians had available for hunting, the government hoped to encourage them to take up farming. So this is an early idea of trying to change, or an early form of trying to change the Plains Indians into farmers. Now, the important thing to remember in 1851 is these reservations, these areas of land that were given to the Plains Indians as a result of this act, were quite large. And so rather than taking up farming, the Plains Indians simply continued to live nomadically, but just moved around their designated land. Okay, and that's what reservation policy did. So, ladies and gentlemen, that takes us from the early part of our course, 1830, right up to 1851. It's the start of the story of the destruction of Plains Indian culture. It's the story of Indian removal and the start of reservation policy in 1851. And I hope that's been useful to you. Next time, we're going to take a bit of a change. We're going to look at Manifest Destiny, and we'll start looking at the settlement of the West by different groups of white European settlers, people like the Mormons and people like the pioneers and the prospectors. And then we'll pick up this story of the destruction of Plains Indian culture later on in the course. But look, I hope that's been useful to you. Keep listening in. It will chip away. I know there's a lot of knowledge on this course, but the more you listen, the more you revise, the more you're reading, the more you're doing what your teachers tell you to, the more successful you will be in the summer exam. So the best of luck with that. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, keep working hard, and I'll see you very soon. Bye-bye.